says, "And after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now therein is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool." There are 12 gates that go around the city of Jerusalem. Each have extremely significant meaning biblically to all of us. The sheep gate is what it says it is. It's a gate where the livestock is brought in, and primarily not for food, but preparing for sacrifice, as well as food. And Jesus, symbolically, not to those people at the time, because they didn't realize that he was the Lamb of God, but he entered in to the sacrifice gate to make a difference in the life of someone, you, today. And near that gate, there's a place in Hebrew called Bethesda, having five porticos or five porches and a great big pool, a beautiful spring-fed pool. And at that particular time, it says, "In these times lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lamed, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters." Once a year, in a supernatural event, an angel of God would come down and the water would literally begin to boil. Not hot, just bubble and boil. And the first person that could touch the water received a divine supernatural healing. And it had been documented for many, many years. We're talking about many, many years. Because Jesus saw a man that was laying there, and he knew that that man had been there 37 times of the troubling of the water. 37 times the angel of God came. And it had happened many times prior to that. And this man who was crippled wasn't able to move to the water. In fact, I read that wrong, 38 times. Pardon me. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time in that same condition, he said to him, "Do you want to get better?" Does anybody in here want to get better? You want to get well? The sick man answered him the right answer. "Sir, I have no one to put me or no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, someone else steps in and they receive the healing." And I've seen this so many times, I don't even try anymore. "If by some chance I'm happening to be close enough on that particular time," because it wasn't a set day, but it was an annual event. There was a season when they knew that the angel was going to trouble the water, and people tried to place themselves as closely or as good as they could to the water. And that man just didn't have any luck of doing it until Jesus came along. Now, Jesus didn't announce that he was going to come. He didn't put out brochures saying, "I'm going to choose some lucky dog today and you're going to be the one that gets the blessing." He didn't say, "I've been watching you and I know who's naughty and nice." He's not Santa Claus. He's the Son of God that came with a very specific mindset. He saw this man's need. Now let me explain something to him, to you today. Jesus came here today and he saw your need. And you can say, "Well, Pastor, you're probably talking about someone else." No, I'm talking about your need. I'm talking as if you were the only one sitting in the room that's connecting with me right now that said, "Probably someone else, not me." I'm talking to you who don't believe really that it's God's plan to give you a very specific blessing. Although you do know He blesses people and He's been good and you're thrilled to see other people blessed, but after a while you would like to have a touch in your own life. But I'm convinced that today, when you came into this place, that you're no different than the man at the pool of Bethesda, that Jesus is coming for you today. Well, He just came for one then. That's the beauty of His death, burial, and resurrection. The one who walked on earth, the one who ascended to be with the Father, the one who sat at the right hand of the Father, now sent us back His Holy Spirit, and He is omnipresent. So because of Jesus dying and because of Him ascending into the heavens to be with the Father, because He sits at the right hand of the Father, and because of the blood that He shed, He has now opened up the access of whosoever will to whosoever will. And when He says, if you want to be healed, if you want to get better today, He's talking in the voice of an omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God who knows everything inside of your heart that you will not allow anyone else to know. Every need in your life that no one else knows. Every heartache in your life that you don't share because it's not smart to trust some people, you found that out. All the things in life is shut up in that little cavern inside of your heart, and you still have no bitterness toward God or animosity because you know Jesus can do it. You know He heals. But the idea that today would be your day is past your understanding. But I am here today to tell you that I am convinced that the omniscient, omnipresent God is speaking to all who have needs and all who are hurting today. You're not excluded. He can at one time carry on a conversation with every one of the 7 billion inhabitants of this earth and have a private conversation. And for you and I to say that we can comprehend that is foolish. We can't comprehend the omniscience of God and the omnipresence of God, but He is here individually for every one of you. And when you call on God, you get His alone attention. For those of you that are sitting here this morning, and you had 38 laps around the pool of disappointment, He's come today to say to you that this day is different than any day in the past. You have to be convinced of who He is. I'm convinced that He died and rose again. I'm convinced that He's my mediator between God and I. I'm convinced that tithing creates blessing and pleases God. How did you sneak that one in there? Because I don't sneak money in. You see, when you are able to trust God with this more than your eternal soul, God will do miracles for you like you can't believe. Oh God, I trust You with my soul. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, and I believe You saved me. But when it comes to money, it makes me mad when they talk about it. That's because you haven't surrendered your finances to God. You don't believe God can be the God that provides for you if you follow His commandment. But I'm here as living proof that my God will supply all of your needs in heaven and in glory and in your life if you'll surrender your pocketbook to Him. I'm convinced that the Bible is true and without error. I'm convinced that God keeps His word to me and He keeps His word to you. I'm convinced that faith is a product of relationship with Jesus and not a result of applied trust. I'm convinced that Jesus wants to give you more help, more health, more hope, more peace, more joy, more power, more anointing, more finances, and more ministry if you surrender to Him. I'm convinced that He wants to give you more life and freedom than you can believe is possible, all waiting you, and it's found in your relationship with Jesus. I'm convinced that there's more than just living on the banks of blessing, that you can live in the reality of blessings. I'm convinced that my God is in the process of arranging a miracle, a healing, a rescue, a deliverance, a provision, and encouragement in your life today. Naaman said, "Tell Elisha the prophet that I'm Naaman, the captain of the host of the Arameans. I have leprosy and a 12-year-old girl that we captured from Israel, and her parents have been killed, and she now has become a maid to my wife. And she told me that there was a God in Israel and that He had the power to heal a leper. And I have great authority over the entirety of the army of the Arameans, but I have leprosy, and soon it will separate me from my position. It will separate me from my family. It will separate me from society, and it will eat away on me until there's nothing left of me, and I'll die a grievous death. But my little maid said that you knew a God that can make a difference." Elisha is inside his tent. He hears this great proclamation of this man sitting on a big white stallion with his robe and his armament on, and men behind him standing, and the horses dancing, and he's making proclamations as to what should happen if this is true. And Elisha, unmoved by his words, tells Gehazi, his prophet, his servant, "Go tell the man to dip in Jordan 7 times. Gehazi goes out and says, "The prophet said for you to go to Jordan. It's kind of harvest time and it's kind of muddy. And we apologize." The prophet didn't say that. Gehazi did. He started trying to make it palatable to this man. He's trying to make God's word fit to where he could accept it and experience. "I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't have a bucket full of doodads to throw on you and the creepy crawly goosebumps to give you. I'm just giving you the straight word of God that if you'll accept what God is saying, you can have the deliverance God is giving." It doesn't take fanaticism or sensationalism, not even emotionalism. Oh, you'll get fanatic when Jesus does for you what He's going to do. It'll be sensational to you when you pick up your pallet and walk out. It will be emotional to you when Jesus does what you need done today. But that's not the premise we ride on. We ride on the Word of God. And Elisha said, "Tell him to dip in Jordan." He goes home. We've got Farfar and Fanfan. We've got these two incredible rivers that are spring fed, that are beautiful and clean. And you want me to go right over here? I happen to be in the neighborhood of the Jordan to wade down in this muddy, dark water because of this season. The silt had been washed away by the spring rains, and it's normally emerald green, beautiful Jordan now was muddy looking. And he says, "You want me to get down in that mud?" Elisha said, "I just want you to be obedient. That's how you see it. But I see it as the Jordan. I see it as the one that Elisha took his mantle from Elijah and tapped it and said, "Now where is the God of Elijah?" And the Jordan parted. I see it as the one that Joshua touched the mantle and it parted during flood season and they walked across on dry ground to Jordan. I see it as the river to come that John would say, "Behold the Son of God," or the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the earth is coming, and Jesus walks down and is baptized and the Holy Spirit descends on him. That's how I see Jordan. You see, if you see God's command to you as something less than appealing, you just see what you see. You don't see what God sees. Elisha knew the power of the Jordan when it came to obedience. God knows the power of obedience in your life today if you'll just accept that He can minister to you individually and me and everyone here at the same time, and knows better than anybody else what our needs are and is able today to do. You see, I'm convinced that He wants to do that. I'm convinced that my God is in the process of arranging a miracle, a healing, a rescue, a deliverance, a provision, an encouragement in your life today. Without warning, without announcement, at the wrong time, when it's not supposed to happen, Jesus will come and fix everything that's broken. He'll give you strength to stand. He'll give you power to pack up and give you the ability to walk this walk. I'm convinced that that's what He wants to do today. The porticos of what's it called? Bethesda. He immediately walked up to one man. He immediately told him, by asking questions, "Why aren't you healed?" And the man had a valid answer. "I've been here 38 years. And I have no strength on my own." This morning, you have valid answers. "I've tried myself time and time again, and I just can't get it done on my own. And I really haven't found anyone else that's spiritual enough to get me done except Jesus." Except Jesus. He's the only one that can get the job done today. In your life, in your walk, in your surrender, He alone is the one that can get the job done. And with all of the wonderful things that happened today, He didn't forget you. If you can just believe that He planned today to take care of your need, you can have your answer today. I heard so many, "I wish that was true," coming out of this crowd, that it almost knocked me over. There's so many that say, "I want that to be for me, but I just..." You see, when you've tried so many times on your own, it's hard to stand up one more time and let Jesus do the lifting. This is different. This isn't you trying to put on a good face. This isn't you trying to be spiritual. This isn't you trying to do what you should. We prayed for you to be healed. We prayed for you, and Pastor Matt prayed for you, and we said, though, if this is the way to go, this is the way to go. You went in for surgery. You had the surgery, and the doctor still came back and said, well, we have to check for cancer, because if you have cancer, because we went in there and had cancer and took cancer out. But you trusted in Jesus. Yes. And your report was cancer-free.
Praise God. Yeah.
This week. He came.
Yes.
He met your need.
Yes.
He will meet your need today. He'll meet your need today. Stand to your feet with me.